As we approach the solemnity of the ascension of our Lord to the right hand of his Father in heaven, and the subsequent coming of the Holy Spirit in the Church, and each one of us, beginning with the apostles, that we might be well prepared to understand what our Lord continues to accomplish in this last period in the history of the entire human family. There is no other history beyond the completion of the glory of the Church, for that is exactly why our Lord ascended to heaven, to sit at the right hand of the Father, to complete his victory, and to make possible the commencement of that victory in the Church. Until the last of the elect has had the opportunity to respond and to become part of what God has predestined him to be, then will come the end of the world. So we have a wonderful future to look forward to, not to become, as it were, too preoccupied with the passing things of this world, no matter how frightful they may be at times. There are always limits, and the limits are set by the Lord. That is why it is so important, as well as our Lord tells the apostles, that you know these things before they happen, so that when they happen, you understand that I am still in your midst in a more wonderful way. And that, as well, that all that has been promised as the fruit of my sacrifice on Calvary is in the process of being distributed to all those who have been faithful to me in keeping my commandments. Thus we have the first reading is a sample of that life in community, which is, as it were, justice in charity and charity in justice. Exactly what Blessed John Duns Scotus describes as the affectus caritatis, as the affection of justice. That is what charity is. And the exercise of charity is the perfect justice, not my interests, but the interests of the Lord and all of those whom he has called to be with him forever in heaven. Thus, as it were, the third reading, one from the Gospel, is amongst the many passages that we find in the conversation of our Lord on the night before he died with the apostles. There were a kind of summary, a very detailed summary of all the things that were soon to happen, so that when they happen, we may realize that we have no cause for fear. The first is simply this, the point that he has insisted on, underscored not only for the apostles, but for all of us. If you love me, keep my commandments. My commandments are not something oppressive. My commandments are thus necessary signs, as it were, that we need in order to keep on the straight and narrow path that leads us, as it were, to heaven, to the joys of that heavenly Jerusalem that we can even see now coming down from heaven. Heavenly Jerusalem, it doesn't mean something manufactured in heaven that afterwards is brought down on earth. It simply means that the Church, the mystical body of Christ, has its divine origin. Why? Because Jesus is the Son of the Father. He is a divine person. But it has its origin in such wise that those, as it were, who are living on earth can have access to it and can be living at the same time in heaven. It's something we don't always reflect upon, how wonderful it is to know what Jesus wants us to do, to know what will always lead to the everlasting joys of heaven. That those joy will never end. Those who keep the commandments of the Lord because they love him, because they see in those commandments the very clear directions. If you're out in the country someplace, you've never been there before, and you see all these pointers going this way and that way in a language that you haven't the foggiest notion how to begin deciphering what it means in English, you know just how grateful we should be for the signs that tell us exactly how to keep on the straight and the narrow. And if we do that, the Father and the Son will come and take their take up their dwelling place with us, the indwelling of the three divine persons. So almost immediately, our Lord mentions it, saying, therefore, I am going to the right hand of the Father in order that, as it were, you might receive the mission of the Holy Spirit. And when that Holy Spirit is present in our midst, then also the Father and the Son come to dwell in that heavenly Jerusalem that is now also the earthly Jerusalem. They're not two, there is just one. Just one because, as it is the dwelling place also of the three divine persons. Among other things, the Holy Spirit was sent on Pentecost in order to keep us, as it were, keep us in understanding of what it is that will bring about the complete glory of the Church and every member of the Church. So that's the first point we want to meditate upon as we prepare, as it were, for the ascension of our Lord into heaven. He says, why do you have to leave us now that you are victorious? Going to the Father, Father, who is greater than me, according to my humanity, precisely in order that you can also go to him and he can come to you. And how is that affected? Precisely by the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, and by the beginning of the sacramental life of the Church with the baptism and being consummated, and precisely in the celebration of the Holy Blessed Holy Eucharist. That is, as it were, the last sacrament, Holy Viaticum, that will help us, as it were, and we might say also, if we receive worthily, will guarantee for us our entry into heaven. So that's the first point to meditate on as we prepare and strive to understand the answer our Lord gave to the apostle. Why am I leaving you? I am leaving you precisely so that you can come with me. And I can come back to you. It will not be long. The second point is, as it were, what the Lord mentions, and if you do this, you will receive from me the peace that exceeds all understanding. And not as the world gives, as a little diplomatic agreement here or there, kind of a quid pro quo, you give me a thousand, I'll give you 2,000 back after investing it. That is not the justice that consists in love, nor is it the love, as it were, that is selfless. It's something quite different. What our Lord gives is that peace that is such that even when we suffer in this life, we do not lose it. We can remain tranquil in the midst of great things that are fearsome. These two is something that we should reflect upon, one in the celebration of the first of Pentecost, which has not ceased to be lived in the Church. The final point we can add here, not mentioned, but it is one of the points that enters immediately and directly into the celebration of the Ascension. Our Lady was present when our Lord left. She was also present in the midst of the apostles, as well as the faithful at first Pentecost. We want to reflect upon it. How did our Lord come in the first instance? And why was it that he came? Because Our Lady said, yes, be it done to me according to thy word. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. And what she did at the annunciation that the Father was ready to send his Son into the world, will you accept, be his mother? And she said, yes. And she said that for all of us. And she is as our mother, as it were, in the Feast of Pentecost. Why is it that we can go to her, go to our Lord and find him? Because we know who his mother is. That is what all of the saints tell us in one way or another. And the more we meditate upon these things, especially in the month of May, the greater will be our joy constantly renewed, joy in all that our Lord has done for us and continues to do for us through the intercession, through the mediation of his mother and ours. Finally, we may say, as it were, this is the point of the supreme victory on the cross. Moments before our Lord commended his spirit to the Father, he looked over at his mother. Woman, behold thy son, the beloved son, Who is the beloved Son? Just Saint John? No, all of us who are called to be members of the mystical body of the Lord. And he said to Saint John, and that he said it to me and to you and to each of us, Son, behold your mother. And from that day on, he took her into his own home. St. John Paul II says, what is his home? Not simply the material building, but it is his heart. It is there, as it were, that St. John took Our Lady, so that he might always, as it were, be considered the brother of Jesus, and have access to the Father. St. Bonaventure sums up the basic rule of Franciscan spirituality when he says that it consists in the mediation of Our Lady between us and Jesus. Because she is our mother, we are members of his family. And his mediation for the Father, precisely because we are the brothers and sisters of Jesus, we have direct and immediate access to the Heavenly Father, that when we pray, as well, we will receive what he gives, because we are his children, and especially when we pray, Our Father who art in heaven. And if remember, when it comes to give us this day our daily bread, to remember when we are celebrating the Eucharist, what a stupendous gift this is. Here is that peace that exceeds all understanding, will keep us calm and ready always for the moment our Lord, we are called from this veil of tears. Praise be Jesus and Mary.